Hello, and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley-Tomaszewski, and I am the Executive Director for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River Valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support nonprofits through funding, and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. On Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, we will be hosting a benefit beer dinner at the Riviera Supper Club in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, to celebrate the second year of the AmeriCorps Vista Project. Join us at 5:30 for a welcome cocktail provided by Woody Creek Distillery, followed by a four-course beer dinner prepared by Travis Owen, and beer pairings from New Belgium Brewing. Live music and merriment will follow. Tax, gratuity, and donation are included in the $99 ticket price. Please go to our website, unitedwaybb.org, to learn more and to buy tickets. Information is also available on our Facebook page. Please call United Way Battlement to the Bells at 970-625-8189 with any questions. Today on United Way Cares, we will be talking with Jill Pegcock with the Arc of the Central Mountains. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Arc of the Central Mountains?
Of course. So I think the best thing to do would kind of be to back up and talk a little bit about what the Arc is and how the history of the Arc in general. So because we are affiliated with the Arc US, we are also the 15th chapter of the Arc in the state of Colorado. So our mission statement reads, "The ARC promotes and protects the human rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and actively supports their full inclusion and participation in the community throughout their lifetimes." So I guess we're here today to talk about, well, what does that mean for our community?
Absolutely.
So I just said that we are the 15th chapter. We are affiliated with ARCUS, which enables me to really have a kind of a lifeline right to Washington, D.C., and a lot of things that are going on for persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities and how that relates in nationally and then also then what it looks like statewide for us. As I said before, we're the 15th chapter of the ARC in Colorado. We are a 501c3. We got our 501c3 status in 2017. We really opened our doors for operations last summer, August of 2018, to become kind of fully operational here in the Valley. So we just try to cover, we have four counties that we cover. Our counties are Lake County, so Leadville. I'm up in Leadville quite a bit. Eagle County, Pitkin County, and then Garfield County as well. So
wow.
A lot of counties that we cover. That's six different school districts.
And what are some of the services that you all would provide?
I think there's a few things. So some of our objectives that we are covering as far as the intellectual and developmental community is concerned, we really do a lot of advocacy. We're an advocacy group. Most nonprofits are advocating for something, for some needs, for some group of people. So we are an advocacy group for lifespan. So it's not a particular age group. However, the majority of the cases that we are working with, families or individuals, really have been most lately have been educational advocacy. And so what that means is that if children are in special education, then they are on what we call an IEP, which is an individualized education program. And we as advocates go in with the families to be able to be sure that that whole system is working appropriately and properly for their student. Oftentimes we really work as kind of comforting and making sure that they understand what's being said. It's a completely different language once you get into special education. So, I always joke around and say that we as parents who have a child with a disability are never really given a manual on what that looks like and how we're going to navigate systems. So we really help where that's concerned. We also are doing adult advocating. This morning I was in court with one of our clients.
You told me.
And I find myself in court a lot more lately, which was an area that I didn't think I was going to be necessarily in that judicial system, but I really find myself there quite a bit. And it's been there's a lot of silver linings to how that's going.
Absolutely. I know as a former special education teacher, I guess I still am a special education teacher, that it's in court often where these laws are tested. Mm-hmm. And we really truly find out as educators, as parents, as advocates for people with disabilities, what we are allowed and what we are not allowed to do in order to help them.
Right, because I think, you're in the business of teaching and supporting students. And so some of those fine-tuning things come up. Today was an adult case, so thankfully I haven't gone to court. We really try to solve things long, as far as the school systems are concerned, long before they go into any kind of a dispute, kind of a circumstances. But it's been nice to be able to do some educating, I guess, and outreach to public defender's offices and sure. district attorneys and judges have been super supportive of our presence here. And I really seem eager to learn more about what this population, what this community and these stakeholders, persons who live with intellectual and developmental disabilities, we call it IDD. So if I transgress and go into IDD, that's what I'm talking about. Because there's kind of I live in it, but not everybody understands it. So it's an opportunity to educate in a broader sense.
Sure. And people simply don't know what they don't know.
Right. That's exactly right.
And it's not necessarily oftentimes that they're acting from a place of maliciousness, but they're just simply ignorant of the facts.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing we do from advocacy standpoint is more about a kind of a putting together networking for families for Medicaid and Medicaid waivers, which is probably the most complicated
sure.
system I have ever in the state of Colorado. Anyway, we have so many Medicaid waivered services that are offered, which most people don't even know what those are. People think it's Medicaid, but there are additional levels and all kinds of waivers, which we also help with families be able to navigate what those systems look like. Thankfully, I have a really good employee who has really is pretty well versed with the whole Medicaid system, so she's able to really help with families with that. So that's sort of the advocacy piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things we do is a lot of education and outreach. I spoke a little bit about that and how indirectly I've gotten involved with doing that with the judicial system and first responders, things like that. We're trying to do more and more parent kinds of workshops and teaching with some of the tools to be good advocates for themselves, for their families, for their children. So
sure.
Really teaching kind of what that IEP, as I referred to before, that individualized education program, what does that look like and what does that teamwork look like? And so trying to give parents an opportunity to learn some tools. And then some community outreach. And again, being able to present to different service organizations, potential employers, what does it look like to be involved with people who have intellectual and developmental disability? Because they're going to be in your world as employers. So that's another thing we do. We're very involved with legislation and legislative input, lawmakers. So we're right now in a legislative session. I was just able to write some testimony up for a bill that was just passed the House today and going to go to the Senate. So we're very involved. I got the policy bug a little while ago, and so I'm very interested, maybe not necessarily in politics, but definitely the policy part and how
sure.
it really can support our families. And again, I think I brought up that resource networking, being able to help families understand what's here in our community. We're in such a great community to be able to help each other out. It's just sometimes a matter of putting some of the same people, the right people at the same table.
Absolutely.
And being able to help with that. So the final thing that I think we're really working on and really a big push and an initiative for us this year will be a self-advocacy group so that people who do live with IDD can feel empowered to make choices and decisions. Speaking for ourselves, as a matter of fact, is typically what the self-advocacy group really relates to. Most of our board is either family members have an intellectual developmental disability or they actually are self-advocates themselves. So So I'm very proud of our board of directors and some of the individuals that are serving on our board. So those are kind of some of the things we're doing in the community as we opened our doors just a few months ago. So
wow. And are you setting up support groups in each community or just...
I think eventually that's what we'd like to do. Okay. And even with my board, the board that we've put together, we really try to have a cross-section of different disabilities,
sure,
different age groups. Again, I said self-advocates, yeah, who are adults, and then the different communities that they live in. So yes, is it a little more difficult to find somebody up in Leadville who's going to be able to make the trek? Absolutely. But one of the things we are trying to do is really kind of rotate those meetings.
Right.
And I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to rotate those kinds of, facilitate those meetings and rotate them in different communities,
sure,
as well.
Well, you're in a similar situation to United Way in that we are very nationally connected, but we are locally run. And everything that we do and all the money that we raise stays right here in the community, which is amazing. But we represent Battlement Mesa to Aspen and the Crystal River Valley. And so finding that cross-section, yeah, of professional individuals who are willing to serve on a board is tricky, and rotating the meeting sites and all of this, but you know.
Well, and just like what you were saying about United Way, we just, so I'm very clear with that, with we are our own 501c3, mm-hmm, and we are our own board. So although we have this affiliation, we are very self-contained on whatever our community wants us to be doing. Yes, there are some initiatives and some platforms that the ARC-US would like us to continue to support, which I'm happy to do so because they do have so much influence from a lawmaker standpoint.
Sure.
Especially when things are, you know, up in the air with healthcare and things like that. It's we're a very vulnerable population. And so
absolutely,
it's nice to have that, those teeth, so to speak, from the national level. But the beauty of it is that being our own 501c3 here in this area, again, it's sort of self-contained to our communities,
right,
and what our communities need. So that's why I kind of listen to the board and what community brings in. I may have had an idea of what this was going to look like, but I definitely knew that there was going to be some open space of what direction and what the community's needs were, meeting the needs of the community.
Sure. Here. How do you find clients and families, and how do people know to reach out to you? Who puts you in touch with the people that you really serve?
I think part of that is we've been in this valley. I've lived in this valley for over a decade now. So part of that is my relationships that I've built throughout, mm-hmm, that decade. More importantly, it's a referral system where it's typically we have a very good relationship with the 6 school districts that we support, and the BOCES, mm-hmm, if in the special education world. Mountain Valley Developmental Services is also one of those really collaborative relationships, and so they are oftentimes referring. Places like Youth Zone will refer us. Again, those relationships, it's that's what it's all about, right?
Sure.
Especially in a small, I guess we call ourselves a rural or frontier community, but we all kind of know one another. And so I think that whole referral system is just based on trust and that collaborative effort. There are there's also Valley Life for All is here also in the area, and they are also a 501c3 supporting mostly adults as they, mm-hmm, get out of the school age, but on kind of finding the life that they want in a completely inclusive community based approach. So we oftentimes go back and forth and sit together at tables and collaborate together. So those are, you know, a lot of times where the referrals come from and how they find us.
And you're right, it is a small community, but I feel like there are a lot of people who just simply, again, don't know what they don't know, and they might not know you're there. So it's
right,
great that others are learning about you and starting to refer.
Right.
Can people learn more about the ARC of the Central Rockies?
Well, certainly they can call us and I can certainly give you that number and also the website. But I will tell you that with being new to this and doing our,
sure,
our board development, part of one of the things we're working on and growing is our website. So yes, there's a placeholder for the website that has some basic information, but I am very excited that we're working diligently to have both English and Spanish on our website.
That's
so
wonderful.
That's one of those things, as well as building that social media platform that will be more up and coming, and I'm excited about it.
I was on your website, and the contact us section is developed, and so folks can,
right,
email you. So how are you all funded?
So we are a membership organization. which means that for a minimal membership fee, families and actually also professionals can be involved with that. We also operate off of grants and donations. And then we're kind of unique in that, and we don't have this retail facility here on the Western Slope. I would love for them to have it. But those of you who have seen the commercials or been on the Western Slope, or excuse me, on the Front Range and seen the ARC Thrift stores.
Oh, okay.
ARC Thrift is not ARC. We're kind of kissing cousins,
okay,
so to speak. So the ARC Thrift is one of the largest employers of persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the state. And because of that, they also not only do they employ people with disabilities, but they also have an allocation fund. And so we are very fortunate to now be part of an allocation fund through ARC Thrift, which we are very indebted to and grateful to. So that was one of the reasons why we were a little bit slow in opening our doors between 2017 and 2018, because we finally were able to get into that allocation. And so I'm very grateful for that. To be able to have that. But again, just like every other nonprofit, a lot of grant working. And
absolutely.
And again, you know, the generosity of those people in our community.
When you talk about the advocacy that you do, is that something that you'll be using volunteers for in the future? Or is that something that staff members will always be responsible for?
I think the advocacy portion will primarily be people that either myself or an employee will be doing. We have a really solid platform from which we're doing advocacy.
Sure.
I want to be sure that I don't want to regulate anybody and make sure that I tell them what to say, but I do want to make sure that we are being clear on the information and being clear on the support that we're giving to families. I do think there will be times in the future for volunteers. So as we start to do some of these events, one of the things that the ARC loves to do in the state of Colorado is film festivals. So we're really looking forward to at some point in the near future, putting together a film festival. And, you know, those types of things are going to be the time we're really going to love having volunteers helping. And then we may do some, you know, collaborative types of volunteer work out in the community as well. One of the things we did that I'm kind of proud of the programs, and we may talk about a little bit more about some of the things we've been doing, but when this last election came about, Disability Law Colorado, which is a they're a public service for persons with disabilities, but they are a legal service, approached us to get involved with doing accessible voting. So we were able to do in Pitkin County and Garfield County, we were able to do two different trainings to be able to, and the county clerks and recorder came with their machines and showed people how to use them. We also tied into this the Glenwood Springs High School, I believe it was the civics class.
Okay.
Because I thought, what a great idea, because, you know, people are so, the youth is so interested in politics right now.
Right.
But what do they do if they're 15 years old or 16 years old if they can't actually get out and vote? So we really tried to open up the lens of what does accessible voting look like? Did you even know that was an issue?
Right.
And so we were able to deputize a few people to be able to register people to vote. And then they also were campusing to make sure that the sites were accessible. It wasn't nearly as successful as I would like it to be because we were very quick to get it done.
Sure.
But it certainly sets us up for success in 2020 when I've got high school kids that would be interested in volunteering. So those are the types of things where I can see where volunteering will come into this in the future.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So if, for example, you know, one of our biggest thrusts is employment. If you may be interested in, if you know somebody who has a business and mm-hmm. they think that they would be interested in hiring people, how can we help to connect the dots? Maybe come and do an outreach to the business of what does intellectual developmental disabilities look like? Same thing with the courts. When we are doing things with the public defender's office, really talking about what does that look like and how is that different from somebody else you may see that's incarcerated and what are the differences? So it's, you know, people are people. So even if a certain person is incarcerated, we still need to make sure that they have all of their accommodations. So what does that look like for the jails and the first responders? So I think those are types of things that if you were interested in helping is getting it out there that we're here. And if you have questions before you start networking it, please don't hesitate to contact us. I'm happy to answer any questions like that.
Can you tell me your favorite story thus far from your time with working with the ARC?
I think it's the unexpected connections that I've been making. I've mentioned a couple times the whole court system and the judicial system. That was not something that I knew was going to be on my radar. But I've been able to find people that are very interested in listening and how they can support in their professional careers. We've gotten, because it was sort of everyday things, right? So one of the things that has come up recently, and we've got three trainings coming up, workshops coming up in emergency preparedness for the aging and for the disability community. It's the little things that I don't necessarily plan for, that I'll meet somebody that it just, a light goes on for me, or there's a silver lining to something. So I think it's kind of those unexpected things. Sometimes when I go into advocacy in an educational environment and I'm stressed about it and not sure how it's going to go, when I know that parents are happy and everybody's come to a nice agreement, and then, you know, a month down the road, I find out that these children are thriving with the little tweaks that we've been able to help, there's such a gratification in that. I think those are some of my favorite stories about what we're doing.
Those are big victories,
yeah,
for sure. So we've known each other for nearly a decade also.
Mm-hmm, we have.
And I'm very familiar with your children, as I got to work with both of them and babysit them when I was younger.
Gosh.
So can you tell us a little bit more about where your passion for helping families and helping folks with disabilities advocate for themselves,
right,
comes from?
Yeah, I think I would have always been of service in the community of some type in some way.
That's your personality.
But I don't think I would have been so altruistic as to say that I would have gotten involved with disabilities had it not been that I was drafted into that situation.
Sure.
So I have two sons who are pretty awesome.
They are.
And they both certainly have their own personalities. But my oldest son, when he was two, we found out that he has autism, which catapulted me into that world of disability. And at the time, I was living in the Front Range area at the foothills outside of Denver. And when we moved here, we were very excited to move here, but I didn't realize how much I had been led down this great path by my hand. You know, somebody was leading me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize what it was going to look like moving to a quote-unquote rural community, as this is, until I got here. Now, I'm very fortunate that my son is doing very, very well. We've been very lucky to have all the right people and all the right supports as he's been growing up. He doesn't need a lot of supervision. He's extremely independent. Sometimes, as he's now a teenager, I'm finding a lot of independence. But because of his independence, it's enabled me to open up and help other people. And it's because of my son that I've been able to recognize where some gaps are here in the community. We didn't realize how good we had it in the Front Range until we moved here and had to really search for certain things. And I knew I wasn't alone. I knew that there were lots of other families that were in the same boat. Well, I'm also very fortunate that when we moved here, there was the Roaring Fork Autism Network that was already established. And so I had some people kind of taking care of me as well of what was here. But more often we found out what was not.
Right.
And it's really because we are in a small community, we can kind of work together to make things happen and forge things in our own way. So that's how it all began for me. I got involved with the Autism Commission for the state of Colorado. I was involved with an organization called Peak Parent Center, which also does education for families. So along the road, I just started to pick things up once we were here in this valley. And 10 years later, we find me now as an executive director of the ARC of the Central Mountains. I did serve on the board of directors for the ARC of Colorado for the state for 5 years.
Okay.
But when they asked me to be on that board, I made sure to say that it was super important for me that we also had those supports coming to this area. So oftentimes people want the rural mountain perspective at a table, mm-hmm. at a board table, but I wanted to bring things here. And so from the very beginning, they were very supportive about things that we were doing here and helping to create this chapter. So that's sort of how that all evolved from just moving here to the valley to now running this chapter.
And I've watched you over the years as you've become more and more of an advocate and learned your way through our community how to help your own child. And I see that you have become the person who's holding the hands of individuals who are facing these challenges. So it's awesome to see that evolution.
That is so kind of you to say. I guess when you're in it, you don't realize that somewhere along the way, the roles switched up.
You've definitely become the sensei.
Well, you know, I think we started this by talking about relationship, and it is so important. And, you know, our philosophy with our advocacy is always about collaborating in problem solving together. Certainly, there are plenty of tools in my toolbox to be able to share with families if we need to push a little bit. But really, the beginning phases of advocacy really are about that collaborative relationship building and problem solving. And again, my relationships here in the Valley have really, really helped with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's that trust. I think that there's some authenticity to what we do because of those relationships. You know, I sit at a table every month with 15 other directors, and every community is very different. But I do know that we really work very strongly on working together, and most of the time works.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say I see that is more often the case, and I'm glad that is the way it is. So before we go, I just want to remind everyone to visit their website, arccentralmountains.org. And I wanted to thank Jill one more time for visiting us today. And if you have any questions or want to buy tickets for the beer dinner on April 9th, visit unitedwaybb.org. Thank you.